Good morning, Newville. The scripture verses that I'll be reading today are from Matthew 24, verses 30 through 44. I'm reading from the Message translation by Eugene Peterson, and you might want to just listen along. Matthew 24, 30 through 44. Then the arrival of the Son of Man, it will fill the skies. No one will miss it. Unready people all over the world, outsiders to the splendor and power, will raise a huge lament as they watch the Son of Man blazing out of heaven. At that same moment, he'll dispatch his angels with a trumpet blast summons, pulling in God's chosen from the four winds, from pole to pole. Take a lesson from the fig tree. From the moment you notice its buds form, the merest hint of green, you know summer's just around the corner. So it is with you when you see all these things. You'll know he's at the door. Don't take this lightly. I'm not just saying this for some future generation, but for all of you. This age continues until all these things take place. Sky and earth will wear out. My words won't wear out. But the exact day and hour? No one knows that, not even heaven's angels, not even the Son. Only the Father knows. The arrival of the Son of Man will take place in times like Noah's. Before the great flood, everyone was carrying on as usual, having a good time right up to the day Noah boarded the ark. They knew nothing until the flood hit and swept everything away. The Son of Man's arrival will be like that. Two men will be working in the field. One will be taken, one left behind. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one left behind. So stay awake, alert. You have no idea what day your master will show up. But you do know this. You know that if the homeowner had known what time of night the burglar would arrive, he would have been there with his dogs to prevent the break-in. Be vigilant just like that. You have no idea when the Son of Man is going to show up. May God bless that reading of his word.
I'm going to invite you to keep your devotionals to the back for the Revelation verse. And I'm also going to invite you to either turn to your Bibles or look at the quote, which is in the middle page. We're going to be referring to that also. The quote is in 1 Corinthians 2, 9, and 10, which you might, if you want to open your Bible to, or it's right there in the devotional. Sudden, total, no one will miss it. Did you hear what Teresa read? Talking about the second coming. A topic that we have not really talked about a lot here at Newville. Today we are going to. And I want to tell you first about a recurring dream that I have, and I'll bet some of you have had this too. It's a horrible thing. Anyone who's been to class. I have this dream. It doesn't happen that much, but when it does happen, it's really bad. I have a dream that all semester I have skipped a class. Have you had this dream? I know that Teresa says that you've had it. All semester I've missed a class. And it's the last day of the semester, and I suddenly remember I've signed up for that class. I'm in that class. And I go to the class, and the final exam is going to be given that day, and I see everybody very familiar with a book that we were supposed to read and have analyzed, and everybody's ready for the test, but I am not ready, and my instructor doesn't even know me. Yet I am held responsible for that class. Has anybody had that? Tom, yes. Tad, you've had that? Yes, I see that hand. Anybody else? I mean, isn't that just a horrible feeling? Well, what Teresa read today is going to be that feeling on steroids. Because here's the three questions for you today, talking about the second coming. Will you be one of the people that raise a loud lament? You see, when I went to that class on the last day and realized that I had skipped the whole semester, and that I was still responsible, I raised a loud lament. Will you be one of the people? Jesus says, unready people all over the earth will raise a loud lament when they see the Son of Man blazing out of the heavenly realm, coming to our earthly realm in all of his splendor. That's question number one. Question number two, are you ready for this? Again, Teresa read, when you least expect it. Jesus doesn't know. The angels don't know. Only the Father knows. And Jesus says, just like in the time of Noah, when people were just going about their business, thinking everything was as usual, sudden and total, the flood came. He says, that's how it's going to be with his second coming. Are you ready? And then number three, what's the sign that you're ready? How can you know for sure? Ever since the day that Jesus ascended into the heavenly realm, as recorded by Luke in the first chapter of Acts, his followers lived in expectation of his return. He said he was coming back. They believed he was coming back. They still believe that he's coming back. And I'm going to tell you something. For the Christian, it is the single most important belief you can have about the future. Because with that held as our center, it charges each moment in the present with purpose, with hope. When we have that hope held within us and that belief firmly ensconced in our hearts about his second coming, there's no room on the radar screen of our lives to project our anxieties and our worries and our fears, is there? Are you ready? And what's the sign? Let's look at our scripture today as we end up Revelation today. We start with verse 17, right in the middle of your page. Let me give you this caveat before we start. If you're distracted this morning, that's the enemy. If you're thinking about something else, that's the enemy. Because the Holy Spirit gave me this message. He dropped it right into my heart this week. And I am absolutely certain that the enemy will try, like Jesus said in John 10:10. He will come to try and rob and steal this from you today. Verse 17. The angel of Jesus asked this question of you. This is no just ordinary angel. Jesus said in the verse right above that, he said, I, Jesus, have sent my angel, see that? To attest these things to you, the church. And the angel asks this question to God's people and those who think they're God's people. What is your attitude about the second coming? If you think about it right now, you get a knot in your stomach? When you think about our Lord and Master blazing out of the heavenly realm, and I'm going to go into that next week and talk about what that is going to be like, what I think it's going to be like. When you think of that event, how do you feel? Because the angel of Jesus comes and asks us that very question, and here's how he starts it. Both the Spirit and the bride say, come. Who are they saying that to? Stay in context. Who said two times above this, I'm coming quickly? Our sovereign, strong Lord. He said, I'm coming quickly. Again, he says, I'm coming quickly. And the angel says, the time is near. And Jesus' angel now says, How do you feel about that? The angel says, well, I'll tell you how the bride of Christ feels about that, and I'll tell you how the Spirit feels about that. When the Spirit and the bride of Christ hear that, they say, yes, come quickly. We want that. Because they're ready. What did Paul say about this? If this is convicting to you today, no real apology for that. It convicted me. What did Paul say about how you should feel about this? Paul said there's one sign to show that you are a citizen of heaven in Philippians. He says, citizens of heaven eagerly wait for the arrival of Jesus to come from that heavenly realm to the earthly realm. That's a sign that they're a citizen. In Thessalonians, Paul says, here's how I know that you're ready. Three things. I think we need to listen carefully to these three things. Paul says, I know that the Spirit got a hold of you because when I look at your life, I notice three characteristics about you. First of all, you turned from idols, number one. Number two, you serve the living God. And number three, you eagerly wait for his Son to come from heaven. There it is again, a sign and a symptom of those that are ready. How about our Lord and Master himself? What did he say about this? What was Jesus eager for? And how eager are you for this? God said in Revelation 21, he said, I will live among you. Maybe you don't want that. I'll be your God, you'll be my people. When Jesus is pressed to say, Jesus, what do you most want? He said, I'll tell you what I most want. Here's how I pray, and here's how you should pray. Our Father that's in the heavenly realm, I want three things. I want your name to be honored as holy, and I want your kingdom to come, and I want your will to be done. I want your attributes, God, Father, to come from the heavenly realm, and I want it to come to the earthly realm. That was Jesus' prayer when he was pressed on it. We have strong biblical evidence then. You know, I'm into signs and symptoms. That's how I diagnose things. A patient comes in, they have certain signs and symptoms. It tells me something about them. There are signs and symptoms of one who is ready for his return. Listen up. The sign, the symptom is, how eager are you for that event to happen? Or is it something that you'd rather forestall? The angel's asking this. Have the words of this book had a saving impact on your life? I want you to remember that phrase. Saving impact. My words can have an impact on you. Your house can be on fire, and I can come in and say to you, your house is on fire. If you go sit down in your recliner and turn on Dancing with the Stars, I understand my words did not have a saving impact on you. You see that? If these words of this book, the angel says, have had a saving impact on you, not just an impact, saving impact, you will demonstrate a sign and symptom. And you will eagerly wait for his Son to come from heaven. How do I know that? Does it not seem strange to you? Here we have Jesus' angel. In the last five verses of the book, 66 books written by 44 different authors over a span of 1,500 years, and the angel, Jesus' angel, mind you, zeroes in on this issue as the sign and symptom of whether this book has had a saving impact on you. Look, I'm coming quickly. Look, I'm coming quickly. Look, I'm coming when you least expect it. I'm already at the door. And the Spirit and the bride hear that, and they say, absolutely, come quickly. We want that. Look what the angel says next. Anyone who hears should say, yes, come quickly. What do you say in your heart when you hear this message today? When you hear that our Lord Sovereign says, I'm coming quickly, do you say in your heart, the angel says, if you hear the Spirit say that, you should join and you should also say, yes, come, Lord Jesus, because that is a sign and symptom that you are ready. Now, let me explain that. Do you hear the Spirit, first of all? Do you hear the Spirit? And if you hear the Spirit, do you echo it? Do you join it? And if you don't, why not? Here's where we look at our quote. Let's look at our quote. 1 Corinthians. Why would you not say this? Do you hear the Spirit is the question that you're asking yourself right now. And if you do hear the Spirit saying, what is the Spirit saying that you should hear? You're hearing the Spirit say, yes, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And if you hear that, the angel says, if you're a person of God, and if you're ready, you'll say, yes, I want to join that request. I want Lord Jesus to come quickly. Look what Paul says. Everyone's at the quote here. Middle of your bulletin. No one has seen or heard anything like this. Never so much as imagined anything like it. What haven't we seen as an ordinary person, man or woman? What haven't we heard? And what have you never even imagined? Well, Paul says, what God has arranged for those. Well, which people? For those who love him. We can't see it. Get this concept. You can't see it with your eyes. You can't hear it with your ears. And you cannot imagine it in your heart. Therefore, unless the Spirit lets you in on it, you don't want it. Does that make sense to you? That which I can't see with my eyes, that which I can't hear with my ears, and that which I cannot imagine, if someone says something, I've got something really wonderful to give you. And here's a glimpse of it. And I'm going to tell you about it. You're going to see a little bit of it. You're going to hear a little bit about it. And then you're going to be able to imagine what it's going to be like. If I don't have the ability to see it, hear it, or imagine it, I'm not eager for it. And Paul says, that's right. And that's the way God has arranged it. For those who love him. But, you've seen it and heard it. Because God, by his Spirit, has brought it all out into the open before you. What does that mean? That means that if you have, and Paul, by the way, in Romans says, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ living in you, you do not belong to him. Succinct. If you do have the Spirit of Christ living in you, he whispers. He tells us. He explains things. And Paul says, he gives us a sixth sense. You can't hear it with your ears. You can't see it with your eyes. You cannot imagine it in your heart. Therefore, God has arranged a system to tell his people what it is that he has planned for them. The angel just showed John, didn't he? And John said, he took me away in the Spirit. He took me away and he plugged me into this sixth sense. And while I was in this sixth sense, in the Spirit, I was able to look and see this city and hear sounds and understand things. You know, Paul talked about that too. He said, I was taken into the third heaven. And he said, I heard things that are unlawful to even talk about because he was plugged into that sixth sense. I don't think I'm explaining this very well. And it's a complicated concept. But it's very important that we understand it. If you don't, let me put it simply, like Paul put it simply and the angel put it simply. Here it is. If you don't eagerly wait for this heavenly kingdom to come to earth, you don't have the Spirit. That's what the angel is saying. That's what Paul is saying. That's what Jesus is saying. Why? Because you can't possibly even imagine it. But if you love him, God rewards that by showing you those things. How? By his Spirit. That's what the angel is saying. If you have the Spirit, you will hear that Spirit say, "Come, Lord Jesus," and you will join that chorus. Now, what if you don't hear it? What if you don't and you can't honestly say in your heart that you want this, and then you make that ultimate prayer as God's people and you say, "Yes, come, Lord Jesus"? The angel addresses that, doesn't he? Look at verse 17. Both the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Anyone who has the Spirit of God will join that chorus, and they will echo that, and they will say, "Come," because those are the ones that love God, and those are the ones that the Spirit of God has revealed this to them, has revealed to them things that they couldn't possibly see, imagine, or understand. And once the Spirit of God reveals that to you, there's nothing else that you possibly want. I don't want to read Scripture. There's a good reason for that. You don't have the Spirit. I don't want to go to church. Another good reason for that. You don't have the Spirit. Because Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:5 that God has given us a little bit of heaven in our hearts. He has placed the Spirit within us. And once that Spirit is placed within us, you never settle for less. Reading things other than Scripture, no problem with that. But if you're not drawn to this word, if you're not drawn to fellowship with like-minded believers, I think that might be a problem. And I think the problem is, like Paul says, if the Spirit of Christ does not live in you, you do not belong to him. If the Spirit of Christ does not live in you, you can't imagine what's in this book, you can't understand what's in this book, you can't hear what's in this book, and you can't see what's in this book, and therefore you will not read this book. I talk to people all the time. Just had a conversation 2 weeks ago with someone. We don't go to church. We don't want to. I called him on it. That's a problem. Because when Jesus set up his church, he did it with 12 men that he put into fellowship with one another so that they could share their mutual gifts of the Spirit with one another. What if you don't have that desire? What if that isn't your prayer? What if you think you're going to be one of those people that raise a loud lament when you see our Lord and Master blazing out of the heavenly realm coming to earth, which could happen before this service is over? The angel says, verse 17, "And the one who is thirsty," maybe you're thirsty for this. Maybe you want to love Scripture. Maybe you want to eagerly wait for the service of church so that you can hear the word. Maybe you want to join that prayer. Maybe you want to hear the Spirit say, "Come, Lord Jesus," but you don't. The angel addresses that. If you're thirsty for that, you should come. And when you come, you should take the living water as a gift. What's the living water? That Spirit. That Holy Spirit. That Spirit of our Lord and Master. Because the angel says, if you're hungry and thirsty and you want to want this stuff, you should come and you should take the living water as a gift. Listen, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today, do not shut the door on this. If this is not the desire of your heart, and you can't honestly say that you join the chorus of the angel, the bride, and the church, and you say, yes, when I hear that you're coming back quickly, I want you to come back quickly. If I'm on the outs with somebody, if I've got a relationship problem with somebody, and you see him coming down the street, what do? You go to the other side. You avoid him. This is going to be an encounter that is going to be unavoidable. And unready people all over the world are going to raise a loud lament. Those who thought they were in. And the angel says, and he zeroes in on, here's the sign that you know you're ready for that imminent event. If someone were to ask you right now, as you sit here and as I stand here, what do you most want? The angel says, God's people would say, yes, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Why? Because they have the Spirit of Christ living in them. And Paul and James says, that Spirit that he has caused to live within us yearns jealously for this to happen. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:3, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. If this is not the desire of your heart, the angel says, you should come. And you should drink. And you should take this living water as a gift. I testify to everyone, Jesus' angel says, speaking of this book. If you add anything, if you add any meaning to this book, if you embellish this book in any way, if you twist the meaning to suit your agenda, you're going to answer for that, the angel says. God is going to add to you the plagues that are written in this book. And on the other side of that coin, if you take away from this book, if you diminish its words, oh, you can't take Scripture literal. Oh, there's so many translation problems, yada, yada. So we just have to, you're taking away from the words of this book. I understand there are translation problems in Scripture. But the tenor and the heart of this message is very clear, crystal clear. Jesus of Nazareth is Lord of all creation. God proved it by resurrecting him from the dead, and therefore you owe him your allegiance. That is an unmistakable interpretation of this book. And at the very end, in the last five verses, the angel hammers on this topic. He's coming quickly. Are you ready? And the sign that you're ready is that you will eagerly join the chorus of God's people and pray, yes, Lord Jesus, come quickly. If I'm prepared for something, if I'm on good relationships with somebody, if I'm ready for that class, I want it to come. I want to see them. I want to meet them on the street. If things aren't right with you and God, if they're not right, and you avoid him, and there's a lot of ways we avoid him. The best way to avoid God is don't open this book. That's the best way. The second best way to avoid him, don't go to church. And if that is emblematic of your life, I give fair warning. And the angel says that right here. He says, I testify to everyone who hears these prophetic words. And it is my job as a minister of the gospel to tell you, and not mince words, there's a danger of God's people who think they're ready, sitting in churches today, will be the ones to raise a loud lament when he comes blazing out of the heavenly realm, because they never drank from the stream of living water that gives them that spirit, that yearns jealously for that future event to take place. And the angel says, yeah. Jesus' angel says, yeah. And when I'm asked to sum it up, the angel says, this is what I'm going to boil it down to. He's coming quickly, and the ones who join the chorus and pray for that event to come quickly are the ones that are going to share the city, share the tree of life, go into that heavenly existence with our Lord and Master. And look at the end, verse 20. Jesus says, he who testifies about these things, now remember, this is the angel. This is the angel quoting Jesus. And the angel says, he who testifies about these things, meaning Jesus, says this to sum it all up. Yes, the Spirit and the Bride are asking me to come quickly. Yes, those that are ready are asking me to come quickly. And he says, here's my answer to you. Yes, I am coming quickly. And the Spirit and the Bride of Christ and ready people all over the world echo, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray.